The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170. The Answer is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for the Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Bick. The Portfolio Doctors.
Merry couple days after Christmas, everyone. It is the Portfolio Doctors radio show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
I guess it's only one day after, right?
Yeah, one. I'm not sure. You obviously had a big one.
Yeah. Everyone, so thanks again for joining us every week, tuning in to hear what we have to say. And we are here each week to do our best to point you in the right direction, help you wade through all the information that comes out via all the media outlets, whether it's the internet, the newspapers, the radio, TV, you name it. Steve?
Yeah, I think we try to do the best we can to make sense of everything and put it in a more of a realistic life rather than a commercial.
See it from both sides so you can understand what the driving force is behind what you're hearing. And with this is the time of year where there are more and more pieces of wisdom or advice that comes through the media outlets that is probably the most confusing of all, because they're almost everyone is going to say, oh, next year is going to be a great year for the stock market because this year was so volatile. Next year is straight up. It's going to be great.
I might.
Right? I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying you're going to hear that. But if you would look back in history at the end of every year or the beginning of every year, you're going to see those same stories. You never, ever hear anyone. Maybe occasionally you'll hear some obscure person that's always bearish on the market saying, oh, it's going to be a bad year in the market. But any story put out by a Merrill Lynch, a Morgan Stanley, a Charles Schwab, anybody that has any tie to the markets is optimistic. It's going to be a great year.
Well, they need to be. So that's how they can sell more securities. Right.
That's how they make their money.
But so far the year, what are we up like 2%, I think, or almost 3, I think, if it's a total return. So it's up, barely, but it is up. And we've got, 4 more trading days left, 3 more trading days left, something like that. And
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Something like that, yeah.
Half a day Thursday, right?
Yeah.
Because Thursday's New Year's Eve.
Yeah. So there you go, 3.5 days trading to hold on to a 2.5% gain. And if they don't, if the market doesn't manage to stay up this next 3.5 days, then something that hasn't happened since 1939 will happen.
Which is?
The market will be down on a pre-election year.
Boy.
another piece of useless information.
That pretty much guarantees it's going to be up, right?
Well, pretty much, yeah. 1939 was the last time the market was down in a pre-election year, is sort of incredible to me. I find that I don't understand why, other than the current the current party is trying its best to make sure something good's going on.
Right, it's pretty consistent. If the market is not being perceived as doing well, the incumbent party doesn't tend to win.
Right.
I mean, that's something that is very consistent.
So there you go. So they've got 3.5 more days of manipulation left to keep the market up. So for all you know, it could be up 10% by the end of the year.
I'm going to go back and see how we're doing for the year.
You don't trust my numbers? But yeah, it's so yeah, that's the one thing we've got to go on. And of course, the next thing that happens at this time of year is everyone starts predicting what's going to happen next year. That's the big game that's played around about this time of year. And the funny thing is, no one really knows.
I think you're well, if we're going by the close on Thursday,
it's 0.1.
It closed at 20,60.99, right?
Yeah.
On January 2nd, which was the first trading day of the year, it was at...
Opened?
It was at 20,58.20.
So what did it open at? Well, you got to look at what it closed on December 31st, right?
Yeah, 20,58.90.
So it's up 0.1%.
I would call that pretty flat.
Yeah.
It moved a whopping 2 points.
But you add in the dividends, that's where you get to 3.
Okay.
Yeah, but if the market itself is only up 0.1.
Right,
yeah.
Without the dividends, if you're just looking at point to point, the market itself.
So it's 3 points ahead. Mm-hmm. For the year.
Well, with zero inflation, you're doing great.
Exactly right. Okay, well, so there you go. So what's your prediction for inflation next year?
Are we going to talk real inflation or?
Not necessarily. We're talking Fed inflation to begin with.
Fed inflation. So what they'll announce, I think it'll be virtually unmoved from what we saw this year, which is announced as being less than 2%. I haven't even heard what they would call an accurate number. Have you? they just keep saying, well, 2 is our target, and we're nowhere near 2. Is really...
Okay. So if we think that inflation's going to remain benign next year, mm-hmm. The drivers for inflation on the Fed side would be a very tight labor market.
Which we have right now,
based
on what they just released in the last week.
Well, the unemployment number is pretty low, right? But the participation rate is also very low.
Well, that doesn't matter, does it?
No, exactly. So you've got to assume that some of the people that have given up trying to find a job, in other words, have fallen off their unemployment record, which means they're suddenly employed even though they're not.
This could be their New Year's resolution is to say, I'm going to start looking for a job again.
So I think there's still a lot of slack in the market in terms of unemployment. And then the other thing that can really hurt is, you know, the dollar's stronger, which means that all imports are going to be a little bit more expensive. Mm-hmm. And capacity utilization of all the factories and that out there, that's not nearly close to full capacity. So I think you might be right. I think there's a good chance that inflation remains mellow next year.
And we need to put this out there. This is just
complete guess.
Pure guess. and we're at least men enough to admit this. We're not people that are the talking heads on TV or on the computer that are saying, this is going to happen, absolutely.
Well, here's the deal. So what I'm getting at is if the inflation rate remains relatively benign, which I think you're right, because if you look outside of the country and you look across at Europe and China and all these other places which have got way worse problems than we have right now, they're struggling. So you can't see a lot of inflation being created over there and being sent our way. That said, we've also got a low labor participation rate, so I don't see that there's that constraint of the actual labor force really feeling it and starting to be able to charge higher wages. So if that's the case, then what is the chances the Fed raises rates again? Because they've got to try and keep this economy chugging, right? Rather than shut it off. And I say chugging because it's not going at full speed. It's just
right. This is the little train that could working his way up the hill right now.
Yeah.
I think I can.
Exactly.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. So what the chances of them raising rates repeatedly, I think, in 2016 are zero.
Well, and the reality is because it's such a lagging movement that by the time they have to make a decision, they still won't see the results of what they just did.
No, for 6 months.
So they may make another move just as a, I wouldn't call it a goodwill gesture, but a vote of confidence type shot in the arm. Hey, we're going to raise rates because things are better than we thought.
But the interesting thing is every time they do that now, it sends another shockwave through the rest of the world because the dollar gets stronger again.
Right.
And everything is now, you know, they really get hurt that because oil and that are traded in dollars.
Maybe the Fed's new role is to make vacations more affordable for U.S. citizens.
Yeah,
you know, I could get behind that.
They've done that. They've done quite a good job, particularly if you want to go to South Africa right now. It's about as cheap as anything because they really blew up.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Well, stick around. When we come back, we will discuss more. I guess you could call this the prediction show leading into the new year. You are listening to the Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
AM 1170, The Answer, and AM 1170theanswer.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
At Christmas, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's too controversial. Better clean it up a bit.
The holiday season.
Perfect.
Nah, you boys are fired.
What?
Phil Robertson here of Duck Dynasty. Hey, folks, Christmas is my favorite time of year, even ahead of duck hunting season, because Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, God becoming flesh. Miss Kay and I took it upon ourselves to write the quintessential field guide, exploring the joy of Christmas with Advent meditations, family memories, and misfires, even Christmas carols. At $9.99, it's about the price of your yuppie coffee. Pick up a copy for you, your family, hey, even your enemies. It's the ultimate stocking stuffer, new from Regnery Publishing.
Phil and Miss Kay Robertson's new book, Exploring the Joy of Christmas, is available now at Amazon, Walmart, Barnes & Noble, and wherever quality books are sold.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us on this day after Christmas. Got it right that time. Got the official approval nod from Todd there.
Yeah.
Thanks, Todd.
You're welcome. Just do my job.
Today we're going to spend some time because there are so many stories out there, so many pieces of information saying it's going to be a great year. You have to do this. You must do that. One of the best examples of how off that often is a couple of years ago, 2014, the market was up ridiculously.
Yeah.
2014.
Yes and yes.
Well, it was like 38% for the S&P.
Yep.
If you looked at the top 10 stocks that all the experts said you must own, these must be part of your portfolio, versus the bottom 10, the ones they said run away as fast as you can, get away. If you have these, sell them. If you're thinking about them, stay away. The bottom ones that they said to get away from outperformed the top ones by 50%.
Wow.
So that tells you a little bit of how accurate the experts are.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a pretty consistent theme. There is an investment philosophy of the dogs of the Dow.
Dogs of the Dow, yep.
Which is take the lowest performing ones at the end of this year and invest your money into those. And over the course of the next year, they will probably outperform the top performing ones.
Right, right. Well, people are saying stay in the fangs.
Fangs. Facebook, yeah. Apple, Google.
Netflix. Yep.
Is that the four?
Those are them. Yeah. And those are the ones
There's two A's because Amazon.
Huh?
Amazon.
No, it wasn't Apple. It was Amazon. Correct. So yeah.
Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google.
Apple's and had its day, apparently.
What's S?
There's no S.
You said fangs.
I know, but it's just because there's four of them.
Okay. Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no S. But they're saying stay in them, but I'm not so certain that that's the wise move based on what you've just said. You know, I think that goes with what you just said, where once again, yeah, those were the hot stocks of 2015. It probably means they're not going to be in 2016.
But it could also mean, I mean, Amazon's up 115% or somewhere in that neighborhood for the year. If they are only up half as much as they are this year, that's a pretty good return.
Yeah, but what's going to keep driving things like that higher?
I have no idea. I think this is the first time where they actually flipped the switch and said, guess what, we're making money. And that surprised people because they never had done that before.
Now they've got a rocket.
Yes.
They send to the wherever, not to the moon or anywhere, just...
They just put it into space and landed
it. Bring it back down again. Yeah.
Safely.
Yep.
And SpaceX did too. So maybe that's where the money needs to go.
Well, SpaceX, they said that Amazon was really just, their rocket really didn't mean anything because it never really docked on a shipping station and went into the outer atmosphere.
Okay.
So that doesn't really count according to Elon Musk.
Okay. So the fact that it was able to launch and fly through space and land.
Yeah, that it didn't count.
Safely doesn't means nothing.
Under space technicalities.
There are entire countries that are unable to do that. Developed countries.
That's right. Yeah, and you got now this seems to be the new billionaire thing to do is have your own rocket company.
Toy rockets.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Send your friends to the moon.
Yeah, you get tired of them.
Exactly.
You know what? I want to give you a gift.
That's right.
We're not sure how you can come back, but we can get you there.
So if we're looking at projections and we think that inflation will be relatively low, and then you start to question why the Fed keeps raising interest rates. So I would say you probably get one interest rate maybe, if any. Next year.
Right.
And there's still a chance they might actually have to reverse the one they've done.
Right. I think maybe we talked about this last week because it was still so fresh, or maybe 2 weeks ago. But it does seem like this is now giving them a little more leeway where they're no longer backed into a corner because
they've given themselves 0.25% leeway.
Right. But that's a lot more than they had just a couple weeks ago.
So they're going to reduce it by 0.1%.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We were a little overzealous here, and we're going to have to back it off just a hair.
Yeah. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of interest rate movements next year in terms of the Fed, which should probably mean that rates for mortgages and that stay relatively
should
low.
Should stay low. I think that could be one of the driving factors because we've had good price appreciation, at least here locally in Southern California. We've had good price appreciation pretty much across the board.
Yeah.
And that's, again, creating that situation where people can't quite afford just the median home price.
Who can, exactly? What is the median home price?
It's over $400,000.
I mean, seriously,
again.
Who can afford that? What's the monthly payment on that?
$2,000 or more,
okay,
depending on what you're putting down.
That's the is that interest only or is that principal?
No, that would be with principal and interest.
Okay, principal and interest, 2,500. Then you got taxes, which is at least, what, 400 more?
Mm-hmm.
So you're at 2,900. Then you got insurance, so you've got, call it 3,000. And then you've still got homeowners association dues and that. You're at basically 3,500, I would think.
Right.
$3,500. Now, that's supposed to be...
Let's say $80,000+ a year in earnings.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a third of your income.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not earning 80 plus grand, call it 100, because I mean, taxes here are enormous. Right. So if you earn 80 grand, what are your taxes? They're like 30-40% including state?
I would have to look
at the
brackets.
Must be at least 40%.
You keep talking, I'll work the Google machine over here.
So if you're at 100 grand and you have to pay 40% in tax, you're down to 60 grand take home, right? You've just spent $40,000 of that 60 on your house payment.
Right.
So
that leaves you $10,000 to lira off.
20 grand to cover everything else. There's no way. That's what I'm saying. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. Admittedly, you do get a tax rebate on that 30 grand you're sending in because a lot of it will be interest. So maybe your take home then is 70. But it's not going to be a lot more than 70 grand on 100.
So you said 100,000?
Yeah.
If you're single, that puts you in the 28% tax bracket?
No, you're not. You're married, of course, when you buy a house.
And if you're married, that puts you in the 25% tax bracket.
Okay.
Well, head of household, married, filing jointly. Yeah, 25% tax.
Yeah, but then you've still got state tax.
Right. State,
what,
which is
10?
9 in
so
change,
that's 35.
Plus 3.8% Obamacare tax.
Yeah. So you're 40. That's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that brought you down to 60. But you'll get a rebate because of your house payment. So you probably take home is about 70 of 100.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to pay 40 of that 70 to a house. You're
struggling. That makes it hard to put the money aside for the rainy day to save for your retirement.
You are literally a slave to that house.
Right.
And heaven help you if anything goes wrong, like the boiler goes out or the hot water cylinder, whatever.
Boiler?
Yeah, sorry. I dated myself.
Where are you from? You've been here a long time. you just move over?
You should have seen the look on his face when I said boiler. That was funny. That was worth every second of that. But yeah, but the point of the story is at $100,000 salary, and I don't know what percentage of San Diego makes 100 grand, because I think the median income here is like 35 or 40.
That used to be like the top 2% of wage earners in the entire United States if you made 100,000 or more.
Yeah, it's not. I'm sure it's not the top 2% anymore.
Probably not now, but
it's
still probably the top 5%.
Yeah. Okay, so there only 5% of people can afford a $400,000 house.
Truly afford.
$450,000. Well, not even truly afford. We've already proved they're going to struggle themselves.
Well, but I guess you have to look at that and see, are you starting from scratch where you're putting a pretty minimal down payment, or are you upgrading from a house that maybe you bought 10 years ago, you've got a lot of equity in that you can sell and put a $200,000 down payment on?
Yeah, maybe.
Or even $100,000, then it starts to be a lot more affordable.
But still, I don't know.
Right,
you wonder what's going to keep driving these house prices north. And you know, it's what's really interesting is what's happening across the country is all of these small mini houses and mini apartments. I'm in the process of potentially trying to build an apartment complex downtown because it's impossible to put a parking lot in.
So I've heard that those are really hard to get the plans and get the land prepared to slap asphalt on there and paint
some
lines.
Listeners of the show, they probably know that I've been trying to build this parking lot downtown for about 4 years of my life. But anyway, I gave up on that. Now, the big thing is these apartments they're building are only like 100 to 300 square feet.
But they're designed in a really efficient manner.
100 square foot, 150. I mean, seriously, chap, that's like most cubicles.
It's probably bigger than probably not as big as the studio.
It's not as big as the studio in.
And Steve and I are pretty much sitting face to face.
Yeah, but they'd be very efficient to heat up. Take like 2
that's
seconds.
That's true. The energy bills.
Yeah. So, but this is the new trend. It's minimalist. And so suddenly we're on 8,000 square foot, you would have been lucky to have got 10 or 12 units. Now you're talking about 50.
Wow.
Crazy.
Okay.
But the rents are still, you know, $1,200-$1,500 for a little box. And so it's suddenly that, I think, is maybe the direction that
the
market
goes. So you're going to own about 5,000 little boxes?
As long as they pay rent. But no, I mean, jokes aside, people are going this way because they can't afford these right. normal houses.
Sure.
They really cannot. And something's got to give, right?
I think interest rates going up is going to cause the market to drop because we are near that equilibrium where people can barely afford it.
At an interest rate of 2.5%.
Right. And that rate just very fractionally moving up is enough to make that payment unaffordable. Right. So.
Well, the good news is I don't think that there's going to be a lot of movement in interest rates in 16, but it does. You should start questioning whether you want to buy a house based on that analysis.
Right. So, right, when we come back, we will continue marching down this road of where are things going in 2016. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors.
I just put a little boiler music for you.
I thought it was the ice cream truck.
AM 1170, The Answer.
This is AM 1170, The Answer.
No one expects you to know everything about everything. So you just go ahead and concentrate on your fantasy football draft.
Zone two, ready?
And when you need straight talk and honest answers about everything automotive.
Hey, Jerry Reynolds, the Car Pro here. You want a good ride, but you don't want to get taken for a ride when you buy or lease your next car, truck, or SUV. I'm Jerry Reynolds, the Car Pro, and I'll help you at Car Pro USA or on the Car Pro Show every weekend.
Saturday afternoon from 2 to 5, 1170, The Answer.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
AM 1170, theanswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Beck.
Y'all ready?
I'm ready. Now I got my hot chocolate. It's freezing out there.
Steve tends to be a little cold. You should see him. He looks like, Marty McFly from Back to the Future wearing his life preserver.
Yeah, once you have been in the 80s, you're stuck in the 80s forever. There's no beating that out of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
So far, we've we're talking basically about some of the predictions, the thoughts that are out there. There's a lot of information, people always predicting the markets are going higher.
So what have we said so far? So far we've said,
well, rates are going higher because that's all we've heard for the last 6 years. So that has to be what's going to happen this year, right?
I would think they might, but maybe only a quarter of a percent more. I don't think it's going to have much of an impact.
But it's the bubble. It's a bubble.
Yeah. It's a global bubble, though. Don't forget. I mean, our interest rates are sky high compared to the rest of the you know, developed world. So Germany and Switzerland are still negative.
And with the strengthening dollar, that's probably making that even a wider gap, correct?
Much wider. Yeah. Think about it. If you can earn 2.5% to 3% on a 10-year note versus zero in Germany or Switzerland, and
denominated in U.S. dollars.
Yeah. And the dollar continues to appreciate. I mean, you're making out like a bandit compared
to... Much more than the 2.5% or 3% you're
probably making 5, 6% at least.
Right.
Compared to zero in Europe or sometimes negative rates, it's you know...
So should we be buying German debt?
Buying, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it may be. So, I think that's the one thing we've got is you've got the inflation rate we think will remain relatively slow. We think interest rates will remain relatively benign. I think the economy overall will, if assuming you don't get some exogenous shock from somewhere, I think we might just putter along again for another 12 months, which would be quite nice, actually.
Okay, so then volatility.
Well, the market's been so volatile, but the market...
Is it here to stay?
I think 16 for sure. Mm-hmm. Just from a simple standpoint, if we have a relatively stable economy, and I'm basing it on 2015, let's just assume we've got a repeat of 2015 and 2016, which is essentially what we've just said. The problem with the market is it's so high in relationship to the earnings that the companies within the market are actually bringing to the table, and their growth is going to be relatively limited in 2016, mainly because the rest of the world, and I'm talking about big companies, now I'm not talking about the little guys. So if their earnings growth is relatively limited, but you've got a massively high price to earnings ratio in the market, you have to believe that there's going to be continued volatility in the stock market through 2016.
Sure.
I mean, you wouldn't be surprised to see another year of minimal to zero returns or even maybe a down year, but because we haven't had a proper drawdown in a decade.
Well, what do you mean? What was it, August 24th? Didn't the market drop?
The 24th of August.
Didn't the market drop significantly? So that counted as the correction, right?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. Just about. But I mean, seriously, jokes aside, again, it's funny because it's true. That's, you know, a lot of the pundits are saying, oh, well, that was it.
Right.
And you just don't have a situation where it just continues up, unabated year after year. I mean, this is one of the longest bull market runs ever. And it's one of the weakest economic recoveries ever. So it's just a mismatch. You've got a mismatch of stock prices to an economic recovery. Mm-hmm. And so the economy is not looking like it's going to suddenly just shoot off like a rocket in 06 in 16.
Right.
I mean, no one expects that. Maybe we're all wrong. Maybe it does. But let's just assume it doesn't, which is...
Oh, it would be great if that would happen.
Yeah, but a high probability it's not. Mm-hmm. So if it has another lackluster year of growth, and we're talking the last 6-7 years, the GDP growth has been less than 2% a year. If we have another one of those years, why would the stock market suddenly go the S&P to 2,500?
I know why.
Because there's nowhere else to go?
No, the bonds, the Fed, when it comes time to announce, probably mid-year, when it comes time to announce whether they're going to do anything with rates again, they're going to say, we're not changing rates, but we're going to restart the bond buying program and pump more money in the system,
well, now,
which
that
is
would
just
going
to shoot the market.
Yeah, that would do it. And so then once
they could
again,
say we were a little over aggressive with our tightening.
But why? Because we've already shown that the unemployment rate is low, even though the participation rate isn't there. The one thing they might say is, yeah, inflation isn't quite where we want it to be. So we want to just stimulate a little bit more. But yeah, that would just be, to me, a clear indication that, hey, our mantra is not low unemployment and it's not low inflation. It's to support the stock market.
Just keep the stock market booming because everyone's happy when that
although,
happens.
But think about it. Put it into perspective now. If they don't, Donald Trump might win the White House. that might be worth actually juicing the market.
Let me jot this down. are you predicting Trump is going to win?
No. Please, let's hope that he doesn't. I mean, you know, I think what he's done is he's definitely raised a lot of the people's hackles and he's brought forward a lot of things that people have been wanting politicians to say and address for many years and they've just been too scared to. So for that, yeah.
Well, he does it really tactfully.
Yeah, exactly. So for that, I think he deserves a bit of a thumbs up, but were he to be president of this country, that would be a disaster.
I've thought about it back and forth because it does seem that he is a front runner, although we're seeing, is it Rubio or Ted Cruz?
Both of them, I think one of those two could potentially be the nomination for the Republican Party. Now, whether they'll win or not, it's a whole separate story.
That's the tough one. You're seeing this, so you almost have to take him a little bit more seriously, although I still don't believe he has any interest in being president. I think this is a little bit of ego.
I think that his ego is so big that by now he's starting to believe that maybe he could be president.
That could be, but I honestly don't believe that he wants to be. He can make too much money doing other things, and he is pretty ego-driven, wanting to make more money than run the country. Yeah. But I don't know. All these guys are pretty narcissistic and want to be out in the limelight.
Well, that's the shame of it, though, these days. I mean, really, you look at any one of these politicians, and they're all very wealthy. It's not one that has a humble background, is there?
I don't believe so. And almost all of them have made most of their money in politics.
Correct, which is even worse.
Right.
So career politicians with loads of money, woohoo, that's who we want. Right. I mean, you need someone that's actually living this mess out there that actually feels they can do good and is a proper leader. I mean, where's that person?
Where's that person in the globe?
Agreed. That is the problem.
We have talked about this. That leader exists, but he's running a big company.
You think?
Yes.
Well, Nelson Mandela was there for a while.
Right.
But outside of him, that's been it.
Yeah, and here in the States, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I didn't know a lot about Ronald Reagan, but the Americans that were here, everyone just raves about what a great job
he was
did.
A leader. He got everybody on the same page.
Amazing, huh?
Everybody worked towards a common goal.
And he was an actor originally, right? So how did he get into politics?
He was the governor of California many years ago.
Okay. Wow. Well, there you go. So we need someone like him.
Right.
And Arnold can't run.
No.
He was a governor and
I'll
he was an actor.
Back. Maybe he can
He's
come back and be governor
He's as close to Ronald
again.
Reagan as you've got.
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, no. So, yeah, I think that political scene, the reason we bring this up is that political environment could mean that the Fed does something out of the ordinary, which could potentially propel the stock market higher. But I think it would be an inflection. I think you'll see nothing, and then wham.
Something
you know, either up or down, one way or the other. But I think both, regardless, you're going to see continued volatility.
Right. That seems to be, and this has been going on for more than just the last 5 or 6 years. Volatility started really showing its head clear back at, 2000?
Well, the reason why you've got a lot more volatility, particularly last year, was the market was driven up basically by the four FANG stocks.
Right.
So if you've only got four stocks controlling the whole market, then you're going to be open to more volatility because normally you'd have the broad array of 500 stocks, so you wouldn't see those massive swings.
And that really is a testament of what you've said, if this is a really slow recovery. This is not a full-speed recovery because most companies are still struggling. You look at the end-of-the-year earnings reports. We did okay, but looking forward, we don't think we're going to do very well. So they were across the board. I forget what the percentage was. It's like 95% of the companies were reducing their forward-looking
outlook. In 2015, I believe the earnings for the S&P was $110 a share if you add them all together. And this year, I think it's less than 90. So there's a 20%.
2014?
Yeah.
You said 2015.
2014, sorry.
Okay.
2015 would be about $90 a share, and 2014 was $110. So you've had almost 20% reduction in earnings this year.
Right.
Which just shows you what a struggle 2015 has been.
Right.
And yet now we're raising rates. You would have thought they should be raising rates back in 2014.
Right.
But they were still stimulating like crazy. Remember, we were still printing money. We were, and you can see that once they stopped that stimulus, the earnings have tapered.
Right.
The revenues have tapered as well. The earnings have tapered even more. But now they've not only stopped the stimulus, but they've started raising rates. And at some point, they've got to start sucking that money out of the economy. There's no way.
There's no hurry to do that. That was part of the announcement of the rate increase was that they were going to continue the what are they calling it? It's not a bond purchase program, but they are continuing to roll that money back into
reinvest into
the market as it pays off.
Well, you think about it. What have they got? $4 trillion out there earning
$4.4 trillion,
earning 3%. Let's say.
So it's all across the...
Correct. But let's just assume it's about 3%. Sure. 3% on $4 trillion is what, $120 billion a year? Is that right? Or is it more? Yeah, it's $120 billion. Wow, that's the interest they make it.
Uh-huh.
So you got to redeploy that. So there is some buying. That's $10 billion a month. You know, that's not nothing.
That's it?
You know, it's not nothing, right?
Yeah.
So there is some support still being provided.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm.
Well, so is that what's happening as the interest is paid? They're taking that interest and reinvesting that as well?
I don't know. I think they are.
Or is it, 'cause,
well, there's no growth, right? Well,
What does the Fed do with interest earnings on their investments? This is not a big investment firm.
No, they should be paying down the debt.
Are they doing that?
No, because the debt's still... staying the same. But the problem is you've got this massive deficit. So they're probably using a lot of it to finance the treasury and the deficit.
And that blank checkbook that the government has.
Which is now they're up against the ceiling again, which I haven't worked that out.
I thought it was a blank check.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Unlimited access to money now.
And now they're up against the ceiling. I don't know.
Well, we'll solve that in another minute or two when we come back. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
Look no further. We have the answer. AM 1170, The Answer.
Shop CrazyPriceMall.com for our year-end flash sale. Enter promo code 2015 to get 20% off your certificates. Buy one certificate or one dozen and get your 20% off discount. Visit CrazyPriceMall.com to redeem your promo code. Hurry, we're running low on inventory. Check out our deals only at CrazyPriceMall.com. Redeem your discount today.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent conservative talk. AM 1170. The Answer.
I think this is our last broadcast before the new year.
I think you're right.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that.
Wow. Hopefully your boiler doesn't blow up between now and the end of the year.
People do use boilers, you know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Here in the States?
Yes.
What part?
Well, in Hawaii they do.
Yeah. Appalachia. Oh.
Well, we've been talking about different items that are usually hot topics this time of year. Are rates going up? Is the market going up? What's going to happen? Inflation. And it's kind of funny. We always introduce the show and explain why we're here. And just going to the front page of Yahoo mm-hmm. News, there are so many stories talking about
us.
Yeah, just about us. No, it's actually giving us plenty of information to discuss for the next year, because there's stories all over about things you need to do before the end of the year, tax advantages you can take advantage of, where the market's going to go, why oil is going to go up, why rates are going to continue to go upward, and what you should do to be prepared.
I don't think oil's going to move much next year, but they're going to have to either switch off some supply, or else China's going to have to get their act together, and I don't see either of those happening.
Right. It's.
But that, you know, when we were talking about inflation before the show, you said, you know, I think you're correct in saying that one of the shocks to everyone's system could be if the oil price does suddenly spike back up and we're back to $4 a gallon at the gas pump.
Right. I think that's. Like we have emphasized this over and over, is your personal inflation rate is very different from what the Fed or anyone else releases as your inflation rate. Yep. Because if you drive a long way, there's a lot of people that live in Temecula that commute to some part of San Diego for a job.
Right.
Right now, gas seems to be more affordable than it was.
Funny. So then people buy trucks, which is sort of strange to me. Why not just buy the hybrid? And get it over with, because you know that these gas prices aren't going to be here forever.
Right, and maybe it's a year.
A, and
maybe
B,
it's 2 years.
I can tell you right now, the demand for hybrids is down right now. So you probably get it cheaper today because there's no demand because the gas price is lower, whereas the price of trucks is probably high.
Does this not sound like something else?
Yeah, like buy when the prices are low and sell when they're high.
So like when the market's not good, you should be buying?
Yeah, exactly.
And when the market is really good, you should be selling?
It's the same everywhere you go.
Huh.
Wow, you've just worked
I've
that out.
I've heard that this before.
So yeah, I mean, that's where it's interesting to me, the human psychology. And we've had a few shows on psychology, and you got to try and break that chain.
Right. And it is a really difficult event. If you look at 2008, we always go back to 2008 because it was such a significant down year.
Right.
And it was very tough to look at anything and say, there's opportunity here, because a lot of the biggest, strongest names, all the banks, all the financial institutions looked like they were potentially, you were going to wake up the next day and see, oh, guess what? Wells Fargo's out of business. Oh, guess what? Bank of America is out of business. That didn't happen, but I don't think we were very far from that happening.
No, we weren't.
And so it was very difficult to say, okay, here's opportunity. I'm going to put a bunch of money into Bank of America or Wells Fargo.
Well, particularly at the time, you were probably worried about your job being lost, the company going under. So you better hang on to all of your chips just in case. Mm-hmm. So that safe money is now being used for safe purposes. The last thing you're going to do is dump it all into the stock exchange that you've just seen coming crashing down.
Although there are plenty of stories now of people that looked and said, well, yeah, these companies are too big to fail. That awful overused term.
Yep.
And they put money into those companies, and guess what? They're in a great position now.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's tough to say what's going to happen in 2016. It's amazing that it shot by so fast, but we are 7 years into this bull rally. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there have been many bull rallies that have gone 8 years, and maybe we can look that up for our first show of 2016. But just to see how, what's the likelihood of this rally continuing in 2016?
Well, I guess it does fall into that category of there are no hard, fast rules when it comes to the market. There are always opportunities. There are always pitfalls. And you just need to be making decisions based on what's best for you and not getting caught up in the, oh, can the market rally continue? Maybe. Maybe not.
Hopefully everyone gets a raise.
Yeah.
That would be good.
They keep raising minimum wage because...
no one's giving raises out there.
Right.
Yeah. Why would you? If you're a company struggling to make money, the last thing you think of is, ooh, let's hand out raises.
Right.
You know?
But that could be the same idea as stimulating the economy by putting money into it. By doing that, you could be helping your employees or getting long-term employees.
Yeah, but you're also going to put a lot of companies out of business.
Right.
Who can't afford that.
Right.
You don't give them enough running room to get going.
And we've definitely talked about that with rates going up or wages going up mandatorily. So.
Yeah.
Well, that just about does it for us. We have enjoyed another fine year with you as listeners. And again, if you ever have questions or would like us to talk about a specific topic, feel free to reach out to us, dan@theportfoliodoctors.com or steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. Have a safe and happy new year. We will talk to you next year.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.